Father God, we thank you tonight for another evening that you have called your people together. God, we thank you, God. The word said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity, God. Your word also said, the psalmist wrote, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I thank you, God, that you thought enough about us to God to bring us back in your house one more time, God, for an evening of learning, oh God, for an evening of fellowship, God. Most importantly, God, an evening to hear your heart tonight, God. Lord, I thank you, God, that this word you've given me tonight, God, will go forth and be sown on good ground. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask forth to go forth and make your will known to us tonight, God. Make your will known to us, God. Make your heart known to us, God. Make whatever you want known to us, God. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you are watching over our friends and families and relatives of God and those who couldn't be here with us on this evening, God. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would never leave us or forsake us. And I thank you, God, that the blood of Jesus is already covered over everything we own and everything we love, God. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that ears are being opening up, oh God. Eyes are being opened, oh God. Hearts and minds are receiving, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Never gonna let me down. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Isn't that something? When you think about, you know, your close cousin or your friend, they might have let you down one time, or somebody you know at your job might let you down one time, might have let yourself down one time, but God never gonna let you down. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. Well, tonight we are continuing with the series that we established a couple Sundays ago on unity and on harmony. The title, I went back and forth a couple times on the title. I felt like as I started, you know, preparing for this, that God dropped down the phrase or the expression, having an appetite for unity and harmony. But just briefly refreshing of some of what we started covering the last time we were gathered together a couple Sundays ago, I don't wish to plagiarize or, you know, teach anything someone else has taught. You know, I feel like God gives us all different words and different interpretations of that word. But just to briefly refresh, as it has been 2 weeks, the instructor taught us what it means to live in harmony, which is, you know, she said it was describing an agreement such as a feeling, a sound, a look, a feel, or smell. And she also said in music, harmony is a pleasing combination and progression of chords. Amen. All right. Romans 15 verse 5, coming out of your New Living Translation Bible, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as it is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. It is a biblical command for those registered for Christ to strive for abiding in harmony with each other. The Bible mentioned, as I said earlier in my prayer in Psalms, I believe it's 132 or 133, somewhere around the 130s, behold how good and how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. God doesn't take that lightly. He takes it as something that, hey, I like that. God would rather us all be in here loving each other, showing love, than, you know, with the he says and the she says and the eye rolls and whatnot. You know, that's not biblical. That's not something that God wants to see his people doing. Philippians 2:2-4, this is coming out of an Amplified Bible. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through faith in Christ. Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness. That was a word that we learned a couple weeks ago about being selfish. We aren't to strive to jump into selfishness, but we should strive to remain out of that and abstain from it. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous, regard others as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Now, when starting to study this, I had to sort of refresh myself as to what I know what it is when they say, you know, an appetite. I know what it is if someone says, hey, it's an appetite, or you lost your appetite. But I had to sort of refresh myself on it. You know, when you have an appetite for something, you have, you know, a strong desire or a liking for it, almost a hunger for it. You know, it is most commonly used when you hear people say, you know, when we eat, people say, oh, I lost my appetite, or I don't want to eat anymore, so and so lost their appetite, or, you know, I got an appetite for some pizza tonight, or I want some steak, or I want some potatoes. It's usually referred to when we talk about eating. So when someone has a loss of an appetite, you know, the medical science, or, you know, the way they teach us in school is that something has gone wrong internally, you know, because if I wanted to eat and, ooh, I'm walking into my favorite cafeteria, my favorite diner, those steak and potatoes and those gravy and vegetables, ooh, I'm getting there, and all of a sudden, I just lost my appetite. I don't want to eat. So something's went wrong, right? Something's went wrong. If we lose an appetite for something that we once had, as I mentioned, something has gone wrong. Something has gone away that was once there, or something has come inside of us to affect and change that and shift what we had there. We've allowed something to come inside of us, either through means of natural, through spiritual means, to get inside of us and change and shift and rearrange what was once there. You know, the same is applicable with our walk with Christ. It is up to us to seek God and to seek godly teachings as to why, if we ever lose our appetite for what we're supposed to do in Christ, you know, unity and harmony, among other things, what we're supposed to do in Christ, it's up to us to seek God and godly teaching to find out what it is that has gone wrong. Amen. Find out what it is that has gone wrong. Most of us will probably know and have an idea, because most of us are more mature in Christ than others. Or some of us may say, hey, I need some help with this. And that's the role of the more mature in Christ, to help out those that don't know what has gone wrong. You know, they call people like that counselors or pastors or something like that. People who are supposed to be there for us, to help us, guide us along our way, you know. You know, it is the job of those who are babes in Christ. They're just supposed to go start their journey, because babies are going to be babies, right? We can't expect babies to know what us who are much older may know about that. You know, we have to look out for babies. Babies need that own care. You know, babies are going to go, they're going to crawl, and they're going to get into stuff, because they're still learning the world, and they're still learning, you know, the Bible, and they're still learning principles of God. They're still learning, they're still learning the world. Spiritual babies are the same way in Christ. When it comes to our relationship and our faith and our walk with God, people who are babies may bump into something that those who are much more mature may go around with these, and they may understand that. So it's our job to help them go along. Excuse me, praise God. Praise the Lord. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. In preparation for this, God dropped in my spirit, and one thing I wanted to talk about was that we should be striving for surrounding ourselves with things that cultivate, that was the word that dropped in my spirit, cultivate spiritual and natural ideals and deeds and general intakings that foster and cultivate an appetite for unity and harmony. I know I said a mouthful. I'm going to go through all of it again. We should be surrounding ourselves with spiritual and natural ideals, deeds, and general intakings that foster and cultivate an appetite for unity and harmony, both in the natural realm and in the spirit realm. If it does not cultivate or support our appetite for the Spirit of God, the Spirit of harmony, and the Spirit of unity in our lives, then perhaps we should look at it and see if it's a necessary component for our life, or does it need to rank as high in our life as we have put it, especially when it comes to growth in Christ and growth in the Spirit. Now, I have to redirect this on myself a lot of times, and I'll find myself, because it's tough, because I will find myself and I will be wanting to invest my time or my feelings or stuff in stuff that I may like fleshly wise, but I know it's not really going to help me link up any further to God. I'm like, oh, that so-and-so show is coming on tonight, and that, you know, movie is coming on. I like that movie. At the same time, you know, I'm growing and I'm drawing closer to that, which, you know, I may be able to, you know, recite the certain lines from a TV show, and I may know what all, you know, the athletes who scored 3 touchdowns and 5 touchdowns and all that. But at the same time, as I'm doing that, I have sacrificed getting closer to God. And what I'm doing is I'm slowly edging that door open to invite, oh, okay, here comes the spirit of darkness, here comes the spirit of confusion, here comes the spirit of content. Anything that's gonna attempt to deflect and disrupt any type of spirit of unity and harmony that God wants us to have in our life. You know, the Bible said, you know, he wish above all things that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prosper. And so if I'm opening the door too much to darkness and to other things, what I'm causing to happen is, you know, they're gonna say, ooh, he's inviting us in. Let's step in this week. Let's invade his joy, his personal life, his friends and family, his happiness, whatever God, let's make ourselves at home and get comfortable in here. You know, what we've done is we've set a place at the table for the enemy when God only wanted us to dine there. Amen. That's what we've caused to happen. So steps to developing or growing an appetite for unity and harmony. I had to think about this because when you take steps to something, you have to apply them the right way to do something. One of my worst subjects in school was math, and it still is to this day. Not that I don't like math, I don't appreciate math, I think math is important, but math to me was always the simplest when they were telling us 2 plus 2, 3 plus 3, 6 plus 6, 12 plus 12, all the good stuff like that. When they started saying 6 divided by X plus 3 divided by 2 cities, streets, names, and all that X times 5 divided by the capital of Utah, it started getting a little tough for me. But the one thing about a lot of math problems, they always say, you know, you have to do them step by step by step by step by step, those long complicated ones, because if you don't go through them the right way, what you'll cause to happen is you may do step 2, step 3, and step 4 correctly, but if you messed up step 1, the whole problem will be wrong. Or if you do step 1, step 2, step 3, like, oh, I got it, but you get to step 4 and you do it wrong, the whole problem's wrong. So it is up to each individual person. I'm not going to put it like that. I'm going to put it up there because I only can speak for me, and I can't speak for anybody else. Wherever everyone else is at their own walk with God and at their own relationship with Christ. But it is up to you to come up with, or let God show you, the Holy Spirit reveal to you, what is it that you need to be doing to help develop, increase, and maintain the spirit of unity and harmony in your own life. Not only, you know, at your church and amongst your church body, that's first and foremost, but, you know, at your job or wherever you go, when you go to the store, when you go around other friends and family. So a few things I want to look at is what comes out of you. And the Bible said, Mark chapter 7, verse number 15 in the New Living Translation, it is not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. Okay, so I just said a couple of moments ago, I talked about, you know, putting stuff into me. And I looked at that for a second and I was studying. I was like, well, wait a minute, doesn't that counterpoint what I just said? I said, you know, what comes out of me is going to defile me. But then I just said, watching what goes into me. Well, in order for what's coming out of you to come out of you, it must have had the opportunity, chance to get into you in the first place. So what I'm saying with that is the scripture again, is not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. When we speak stuff, and sometimes it's more than speaking stuff, it's how we express stuff, we're putting stuff into the atmosphere. And when you put stuff into the atmosphere, sometimes it can affect you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, simply because of what you said. I mean, you think some people haven't got the revelation that it's your words that are causing it. I sound like a broken record because I speak about words all the time, but it's your words that are causing that atmosphere in your life that may have caused that change or that shift or that undeveloped or overdeveloped, if you want to think, but that's a whole another story, whole another issue. But when you set yourself in a certain atmosphere, you are subject to the intakings of whatever is in the atmosphere. So if I'm in a room full of oxygen, my lungs ought to be happy, my nostrils ought to be happy, and I'm breathing good, I'm having a, you know, good breathing session, like all my organs are good. But if I step into a room, you know, lacking oxygen, they talk about, I've never been out there, but I believe it's Colorado or some of the states I heard is higher altitude, it's tougher to breathe. So if I step into a place where there's less oxygen and less vital nutrients that I need, it's going to be a struggle for me to function physically. The same thing works spiritually in our lives. If we don't step into a proper place to where we get all the proper nutrients that we need, to get all the proper, you know, supplements that we need, we're going to start to struggle. That can hinder stuff like your unity and your harmony, because I mentioned they started off as putting it in the atmosphere. Well, I didn't touch it, I didn't put my hands on it. I mean, no, but you were around it. You were in the vicinity of it, and who knows what has jumped off of that and attempted to jump on you. Amen. Okay. Now, this next point may be tough on some people. It was tough on me because I had to examine myself when I said this, but we're talking about, you know, unity and harmony, and we're talking about being with, you know, learning to not think about only yourself, but, you know, dwell on others. Think about yourself some other time. So when this came up, it kind of made me scratch my head, but learn to say I'm sorry or learn to apologize. You know, only when we've allowed the Holy Spirit to come inside and begin to work and change us can we begin to allow ourselves to forever remain in a forgiving attitude and a humble spirit. Because a lot of times that's difficult. I know that's difficult. I mean, everybody has that point, or they've had that moment in their life where, you know, I got an uncle that says you couldn't hit them with a red apple. They were just the top dogs. You couldn't tell them nothing. They were just, you know, they were confident. There's nothing wrong with being confident. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being confident. But at the same time, in order to function in a society, in order to function in a Christian body that wants to be what the world is today, we have to subject ourselves to being humbled if we have to be humbled. The Bible talks about us being meek and being teachable. You know, we've got to be right sometimes. Now, I'm speaking to me too. Our flesh a lot of times hates to admit when we were wrong. We've got to be right. Just the same, the flesh in us wants us to hold on to grudges sometimes when folks have offended us, when all throughout the world we have been instructed to work out offenses for peace and let offenses go concerning others. All right, Matthew chapter 18 and 15 of the New Living Translation. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses, you have won that person back. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. This is coming out of an NIV translation. So watch yourself. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Those are out of Jesus' mouth himself, 70 times 70. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 3, the New Living Translation. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, a little personal side story from many years ago. I remember I had a close friend of mine, and we're still friends to this day. We are a month apart on the calendar. I was born about a month before him, but we had a little, just a silly, petty, you know, children can get in sometimes the silliest of arguments over things. Adults can too, but children, we can get into goofy stuff. I remember one day we were arguing about what day of the week his birthday fell on. What day of the week? Now, I was young enough and didn't realize it was silly of me to try to tell someone, what am I doing trying to tell you when your birthday is? It was silly to me. I'm like, it was a childish argument. And I was concerned, dude, your birthday is on Tuesday. He was like, nah, man, my birthday is on a Thursday. Now, I had already seen the calendar from that year and I knew when his birth date was, and I knew what day of the week it was, and he had apparently hadn't seen one. I remember it just became a kind of a stupid argument, and strife was starting to begin. And what was crazy is because we both were kind of church guys, and I remember it kind of came to a head one day, and so his pop just pulled both of us aside and said, listen, guys, whatever day it is just the day it's going to happen. And he looked at the calendar and said, now I'm going to go look at the calendar, and whatever day it is, right is right, and whoever's wrong is wrong, you know. And he went and looked at the calendar, and he came to see that it was on the day of the week that I thought it was. And I almost celebrated for him, but he told me to stop because both you're, he corrected me in the sense that he said that you're in the wrong because, number one, what are you doing so worried about? I know he's your friend, but you need to let him worry about his particular birthday and birthday, and you worried about yours. And he, you know, told his own son, hey, well, yet he was not all the way wrong because you were right. He squelled and squashed the whole thing, and it was a lot sillier than what we boys should have allowed it to become. And I said all that today this because sometimes the Father in heaven, if we allow ourselves to get too much into some type of argument or some type of disagreements over something that's doctrine, or I think they should sing this way, or I think they should come up this way, we've allowed ourselves to fall into the trap of allowing that unity and that harmony that should exist between us and all our friends and family to slide away. That's what we've allowed to happen. It's something that's so silly as that. So that just was something that came in my spirit, and Em, I actually talked to him about it a few days ago. We both just sort of laughed about it because we both thought it was funny how we were silly arguing about something like that, and it was just odd. So I also want to make this other point right here. We talked about that just a second ago, but uplift other people up. Now that seems some simpler, seems something, excuse me, that seems simple enough. The Bible said in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, Jesus said it is better to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. One of the best seeds you can sow towards maintaining a spirit of unity and harmony is to look for opportunities to give and to show love towards your fellow soldiers in Christ, but not only your people of God, but God wants us showing love to the entire world. Of course, Proverbs 18 and 24, the New Living Translation, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. I'll admit, and I'm sure a lot of people can admit, I'm not perfect. I have my own faults. Amen. A lot of us have our own things that we could probably do better. But the thing is, God wants us looking past certain things that we think a certain human should be able to do, a certain thing that we think, oh, he should be able to do this, she should be able to do that, she should know this. Not everybody has had the opportunity to experience and undertake and intake some of the things in life that you might have, or you might not have experienced some things that someone else has. That doesn't make any person any less particular, you know, it doesn't make any person less valuable, doesn't make any person less, you know, important, especially in the sight and the eyes of God. You know, God is no respecter of persons, amen. So we have to understand that sometimes, yeah, somebody needs to be lifted up, and it's not always about us. The scriptures that, you know, she was telling us last week, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago, was selfishness, stuff like that is a part of selfishness. Oh, it's about me. And I'm not trying to jump on the train and say don't care about yourself. No, God loves, and he's concerned with your needs as much as he's concerned with anybody else's. But the thing is there comes a point in your life. Jesus talked about us children of God being servants. Mm-hmm. And you have to allow yourself to be subject to being a servant in order to be seen as pleasing God and pleasing of the Father, amen? So uplift others up. And I want to, it was another story, but praise God. People may reject your initial attempts to plant the seed of God's love, but that is okay. As long as you were obedient to God, you will reap if you faint not. The Bible tells us, ask God to bless anyone who curses you and pray for everyone who is cruel to you. In Luke 6, 28, that's out of a contemporary English version. Love diffuses strife. Amen. Showing continual love should be one of our goals as we walk through the kingdom journey, our kingdom journey. Jesus showed the ultimate love and uplifting and not only healing the sick, raising the dead, but when he had to bear the cross, that was the toughest task. That was mentioned earlier. He had to bear the cross. He set the perfect example that is not all about us or what we need to do for ourselves, but what we do for others, representing the kingdom of God. Because as God's children, that's what we represent, the kingdom of God. You know, we represent, yes, we represent our families, and we represent, you know, I represent the city I'm from. I represent the school I went to. We represent the kingdom of God. Amen. Romans 14 and 19. So then let us pursue with enthusiasm the things which make up for peace and the building up of one another, things that lead to spiritual growth. And we need spiritual growth if we're going to have any chance at being united to effect change in the world for the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 12, a house divided against itself shall not stand. So if we're all divided, you ain't got no chance. We ain't got no chance. So, I got some more, but I want to hang on. Ooh, praise the Lord. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray this prayer real quick. Lord, let us be in pursuit of the things that will foster and cultivate a spirit of unity and harmony, not only for the kingdom of God, but for all that we do from home to work. For every trial we may encounter, the spirit of peace takes over to promote unity and harmony. Wrap us up in your hands of knowledge and love, God, that we may know unity and harmony and be a part of ministering to those who are lost and believe that they have no hope. I want everybody to repeat after me real quick tonight. Father God, thank you, Lord, for giving us hope, for giving us unity, for giving us harmony. Thank you, God, for wrapping us up in your arms, God. Arms that contain unity and harmony. Arms that contain grace and power. Arms that contain love, O God.
Arms that contain love, O God.
Father God, cause us to grow.
Father God, cause us to grow.
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
Father God, cause us to grow.
Father God, cause us to grow.
In the Word of God.
In the Word of God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for causing us to step more into what you want us to go to tonight. I thank you, God, that you have blessed us, God, and kept us, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are causing us to grow in unity and in harmony, God. And I thank you, God, that your heart is being made known to the people, God. I plead the blood of Jesus over every listening ear tonight and every receiving heart and mind. Father God, I thank you, God, that you are opening up our eyes, oh God, and that we will see things the way we've never seen them before. I plead the blood of Jesus over friends and family and loved ones, God. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you are causing us, God, to intake, oh God, and have an appetite for developing unity and harmony, God. We have an appetite, oh God, that your will be done. We have an appetite and a hunger, God, for the unity and harmony, oh God, that only the Spirit of God can provide, God. We thank you, Lord, that we are a united front, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided harmony for us, God, to grow and to go, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that this church operates in harmony, oh God, and unity. I thank you, God, that our pastors operate in harmony and unity, oh God. I thank you, God, that every minister here operates, oh God, in unity and in harmony, oh God. I thank you, God, that the Spirit of the Lord, God, increases us, God, twofold, God, a hundredfold, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, oh God, for using your vessels, God, the right way, God. And I plead the blood of Jesus over all of us tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ooh.